जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा जयो गिरिहरधारी जयो गिरिहरधारी गोपी जन वल्लभा जयो गिरिहरधारी गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिहरधारी जय गिरिहरधारी गोपी जन जय यशोधा नंदना जय व्रज जन रंजन जय यशोधा नंदना जय ब्रज जन रंजन रामन तीरवन चारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय कुंज बिहारी जामुन तीरवन चारी कुंज बिहारी जय कुंज बिहारी जामुन तीरवन चारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय कुंज बिहारी रामन तीरवन चारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव हरे कृष्णा Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna. So thank you to Nityananda Prabhu and Nityananda Chandra Prabhu for inviting me to speak. To Dwarka Prabhu and Daru Krishna Prabhu for anchoring such a nice Sunday program. Of course, with so much help, cooking and such. Thank you all for coming. And thank you for our spontaneous sponsors. I feel like I should wear a t-shirt with your name or something, like race car driver. My classes tend to be interactive, so I hope nobody's feeling too sleepy and you're ready to participate. So I need the... let me hear before I dive in. Om Gyanati Amandasa, Gnanadana Shalakaya, Chakshurun Miritam Hina, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, Namah Vishnu Parayi Krishna Pishthaya Bhutare, Smagakti Shuru Swami Nitam Desi Gishai Subhati Bhaginam Chagra Saptam Prabhutam Nami Pichi Tarubaram, Namah Vishnu Parayi Krishna Pishthaya Bhutare, Smagakti Nata Swami Nitinam Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravan Chari Nivishai Shishnari Pashyati Deshata.
All right, so I need somebody tell me a car that you have, and the requirements are that I don't want it to be too fancy, but you should be very happy with it. Like, it's just a solid car. You're like, this is a good car. But I don't want it to be your dream car. Okay, it shouldn't be like, oh, yeah, I waited all my life and I finally got, you know, my sports car. But it's just a good car. You're totally happy with it. You have no complaints, but not necessarily your dream car. Okay, because someone just raise your hand, shout out something. Yeah, restroom. Prius. Okay, very good. So we're going to start with that. That's Toyota, right? Hybrid Toyota Prius. Now I need somebody else to give me your dream car. Your dream car. So not what you're driving now, but the car like when you see it on the lot, or you see an ad, or you're saving up or something. So somebody give me a dream car. Yeah, you have a dream car? Honda what? Okay, Honda Civic. All right, see That's the dream car for somebody who doesn't yet drive. So we'll save that. We'll save that. Well, how about something a little bit more exciting? More exciting. Although it's very nice. Honda Civic's very nice. Yes. Jaguar. Okay, very good. Very good. So we have our Toyota Prius. We have our Jaguar. So you're happy with your Prius. You get good gas mileage. Don't have too many people to fit in it, so it works out okay. It's just you commuting, driving to work every day. But you pass this Jaguar lot every day, and there's a long traffic light right next to it. And you're waiting. Kind of looking at the Jaguars. You're thinking, I get such good gas mileage. This is not costing me anything. I had to be on a waiting list to get the Prius. I'm totally happy. Why do I need a Jaguar? Payment is very comfortable. So you go on, next day, every day. Every day you look a little bit longer. You think about it a little bit longer. It's a little harder to convince yourself. I don't need it. I don't need it. I'm happy with my Prius. I don't need the Jaguar. So then finally, one day you can't take it. It's actually the weekend, and you happen to be taking the same route. And there's some sale or something, right? Or the new model has come out. You're like, oh, 2018s are out, right? 2017s must go. So the one you've been looking at, right? The price is reduced. And you just got a raise at work. So you have a little, you're like, all right. So you go in. You go into the lot, park your car. It's not too hard for the salesperson to convince you. Done. Take your Jaguar, right? It's the weekend. You go. And you're like, what is this, 0-60 in how many seconds? Okay, let's see it. 0-60. What happened? 0-60, what happened to the 60 to 0? I wasn't supposed to do that in 3.4 seconds, right? Didn't work. You go back. Hey, what is this? I just bought this Jaguar. The engine's not even working, you know? No, very sorry. That was in the fine print. No return, no refund. And they're like, are you sure it doesn't start? You started? Okay, actually, it will go up to 50 miles an hour. It works up to 50. Doesn't go faster. So this is what we call, a bad car? What's the American expression? Lemon. Yes. Okay. So now you'll know why I told you this story. We'll get to it in a second, but that was the setup. So what I'm going to talk about today is an expression that Srila Prabhupada would use called making the best use of a bad bargain. And he attributed this to his guru, Bhaktisiddhanta. So they're there on the altar. You can see towards the bottom left, there's a picture of Srila Prabhupada, who's also here. Then to his left is his guru, Bhaktisiddhanta. So he would use this expression. So he was not using it in terms of a car. He was using it in terms of this human body. This life that we have is a bad bargain, and we should make the best use of it. All right, so if we're going to try to understand this analogy, what are we going to have to figure out? If the class is going to be about making the best use of a bad bargain, okay, now we're going to have to pull some pieces together. What's a piece we're going to need if we're going to have to figure out how to make the best use of a bad bargain? What's the first piece we're going to need to know? What's the bargain, right? And let's break that down even further. A bargain, what does it involve? What does a bargain involve? An exchange. One thing for another, right? So we're going to have to figure out what we gave and what we got. Right? Everyone with me so far? Right? That's a bargain. You exchange, right? I traded in, right, my perfectly good Prius and got this Jaguar that won't go faster than 50 miles an hour. What's the point of a Jaguar, right? Right, so I exchanged something. So we're going to have to exchange something. So we're going to need a bargain. What else are we going to need? Or what are we going to need to know about the bargain? It's a bad bargain. We have to understand, why is it bad? Why is it bad, right? We understand why the Jaguar Prius bargain was bad. But we're going to have to understand why. What's the bargain? What did we exchange for what? Why is it bad? And then what's the final piece? What's the best use? Right? So we got stuck with the bad bargain. What's the best use? Okay. So we'll go piece by piece and see if you're convinced. If you're not, you can ask some questions. So the first is, what is the bargain? What is the bargain? So the bargain is this, and this is going to relate to our story a little bit, is according to our philosophy, we were in the kingdom of God. We were in the spiritual world. with Krishna. And we had a Satchid Ananda body. Satchid Ananda. So Sat Chit Ananda. Sat is what? Go ahead, shout it out if you know. Eternal. So, yes, it was an eternal body. Doesn't end, doesn't get old, doesn't appear. It was Chit. Knowledge, full of knowledge. There's no mysteries. We understand everything. There's no darkness of ignorance. So you're an eternal body. You're in full knowledge and Ananda. Bliss. Totally happy. Totally happy. So that was the situation we're in. Mm-hmm. So just like the Prius, there was no problem. There was no problem. It wasn't like the Prius was giving us problems or we're like, actually, I just had triplets and I can't fit them in the back, right? Or anything like that. Or it's 10 years old, the transmission. No. It was totally fine. Totally fine. We're totally happy with it. It was the color we wanted. It was totally fine. So this Satchidananda, we were there, right? I mean, does that sound like anything's missing? So it's eternal. No old age, no disease, no that. You have full knowledge and you have full happiness. Does it sound like anything's missing? What's missing? Anything? Maybe something is. I can't think of, right? I mean, that sounds like if you had that, what are your problems? There's unhappiness, right? Things end. Something happens. You don't understand something, right? Okay, so we're totally happy. And we exchanged it. What did we do that for? We exchanged it for, okay, whose body is eternal? Anybody? Who's full of knowledge? Like, there's just nothing beyond what you know. You know everything. Is there anybody in the room? You know everything. There's nothing mysterious. You know who's going to win Super Bowl 46, whatever. Anybody? Ananda. I mean, do we even have to ask? Who's just, like, in bliss all the time, right? I mean, the body, bad bargain, right? So this was the bargain. We exchanged this. We exchanged a position in the spiritual world, completely happy for this, for the situation here. So what's so bad about it? So, in case you need some convincing, we'll start with that. But that's the bargain. Now, that part you're going to have to take, that's part of our philosophy. And that's something you can realize by following a spiritual process. This knowledge can actually come to you. Memory can actually come to you of this bargain. But for now, we'll just take that as our given and sort of build from there. What's so bad about it? What's so bad about it? Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he describes this world many times. With a couple of places, he uses some nice phrasing. This is Bhagavad Gita 8:15. Mam upetya punar janma dukhalaya mashashvatam naptuvanti mahatmanah sangsidhim paramam gataha. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection, dukhalayam ashashvatam. So he says this place is dukhalayam. So the big mountains just north of India and the Tibet area, what are those mountains called? Himalayas, right? Himalayas or Himalayas, right? So alaya is abode, place of. So what do you think you see a lot of in the Himalayan mountains everywhere? Snow, right? I mean, it's just snow. So it's the Himalayan mountains, the Himalayan mountains. So this place is dukhalayam. So to the same extent that snow is present in the Himalayan mountains, do you know what's present in this world, Krishna is saying? Dukkha, suffering, pain, misery. Is that surprising to anyone? Is anyone surprised? Why is Krishna saying that? Why is Krishna calling this a place of, not just there's some misery, he's just saying it's just permeated. It's just everywhere. Right? I mean, little things. Oh, you ate something, you have indigestion, you didn't sleep right, right? Somebody, you know, cut you off on the way to work, somebody, a coworker says the wrong. I mean, the flavors of misery, there's more than 31 flavors of misery, right? There's about 3 trillion in one, right? And every day, you don't even order it, right? You just get it, like, delivered to your desk. Okay, here's your, you know, here's your new little sundae of 5 different misery flavors. And then at lunch, another one, right? I mean, you just get it. It just comes. It's the nature of the world. In fact, in our philosophy, we talk about happiness almost being just a absence of misery. It's just like, if it just stops for a while, you feel like, oh gosh, that's happiness. That's happiness, you know? Devotees are movement, Mahatma Prabhu, he's in India now, but yeah, he uses the example of like, if you're just sitting there, right, like right now, okay, I feel fine. Then someone like hammers your little finger. I mean, what is your little finger? What pleasure does your little finger provide for you, right? Nothing. But now someone hammers it, now it's giving you plenty of pain. And then when the pain goes away, right, you ask you, how are you feeling? You know, when the pain's there, I feel, God, it's bleeding, it's, you know, throbbing. And then let's say it goes away. I put some magic, you know, balm on it, whatever, and it goes away. How are you feeling? You'd be like, I feel great. I feel wonderful. I was like, well, before I hit you, you just kind of like, yeah, I'm fine. But because the pain went away. The pain went away. So that's pleasure in this world, is when that dukkha kind of stops for a second. Another place, Krishna describes the world as asukham anityam, that this place is the place of no happiness. Asukham, like sukham, asukham, anityam. It's temporary, and there's no pleasure there. So Prabhupada, he would use this phrase. He would admit it's a bad bargain. Making the best use of a bad bargain, laughing. It is a bad bargain, but we have to utilize it. So this was a conversation he was having with professors, actually. And they're like, what do you do about the body? How do you treat the body? He said, it's a bad bargain. It's a bad bargain. Here's some more details. This is a conversation with professors in 1975 in Los Angeles. It is a bad bargain because there are 4 problems. Even if you are very rich, you have no economic problem. You've got everything, but you have to take birth. You have to die. You have to suffer from disease. You have to accept old age. These problems you cannot avoid. Either you're a rich man, poor man, American Indian, white, black, it doesn't matter. The four problems of material existence will always trouble you. So he would try to identify, following Krishna's lead, that these are 4 things. Even if things are going pretty well, gosh, everybody, right, gets disease. Everybody gets old. Everybody dies. So even if you're avoiding these other kind of more minor miseries, gosh, these big ones just come. They come. It's the nature of the material world. This is in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2. Our material bodies and our lives in that connection are bad bargains because the living entity is actually spirit, and spiritual advancement of the living entity is absolutely necessary. So we'll get into this a little bit about with the best use, how to make the best use. 1975 letter. This material body is a bad bargain because it's always miserable. So to make the best out of this bad bargain means to render devotional service in any circumstance. Another letter later that year. This material body is actually a bad bargain because it is prone to suffer. But we must make the best use of this bad bargain. So there's a bargain, and it's bad. Another way, because sometimes you think, well, there's so much, you know, there's little kittens and teacups and there's, ESPN sports coverage and whatever. You know, you just kind of think of there's happiness, there's cute things and whatnot. But if you think about it, here's another way to just kind of convince yourself that, gosh, you know, actually this, if I'm thinking there's kind of some happiness, some misery, gosh, that misery part actually is more prevalent, huh? More pervasive than actually I thought. Another way to think about it, the little finger analogy is one, is if you think about things you look forward to, something you're looking forward to, the homecoming dance in high school, right? A chocolate brownie sundae, right? At the ice cream parlor. A first date. I mean, so many things that you might look forward to. So if you can, think of something, you know, in your life, either today, some small thing, something bigger in your life. Think of something you looked forward to. So there's something that's happened in the past. And I want you to think about how you felt looking forward to that event. You know, I mean, a wedding, right? Just thinking, oh, everything would be so nice, so nice. Then think about when the event happened and compare that to what you were expecting. And then think about how you recall it afterwards if you're talking with somebody, right? I mean, so you can imagine a wedding, you're just imagining, right? You'll feel wonderful, you'll look wonderful, you'll go, all the birds will just form a heart in the sky for you, and your partner you're marrying, right, will look great, and everyone will be there and just full of joy. And then the actual wedding comes. Gosh, it's really hot. You know, you see everyone in the audience kind of doing this, right? The priest, actually at my wedding, this happened. The priest hadn't done a lot of weddings, so he kind of forgot. If you've seen an Indian wedding, there's a veil. He sort of forgot to tell her to take off the veil. So we kind of went through the whole ceremony. She was just kind of like Cousin It from the Munster, whatever. You know, she was just covered, you know. And I think at the end, it was fine. Like, finally, I was like, oh, yeah, by the way, here, you know. Just make sure you are marrying the right person. Anyways, right? So many things can happen. Small little problems. Are you, ate something, you know, you didn't sleep well the night before, this or that or whatever, right? Your Uncle Harry comes stumbling in drunk from whatever, right? So many things happen. Then, but, right, afterwards, you get that wedding album, and, right, they're taking pictures, and they're, like, photoshopping, right, and making it, and then you show people your wedding video that you spent, like, $5,000 on, right, and you're like, yeah, it was a great wedding. It was, like, the best wedding, man, and your friends are like, yeah, we were there. It was awesome, right? So what I would ask you is the anticipation, wonderful, the recollection, wonderful. At the time it was actually happening, you know, for this wedding or for any kind of thing that you were looking forward to, right? The chocolate brownie sundae, whatever. When it's actually happening, is it really as good as you thought it was going to be? Is it even as good as you remember it was? Like, if you really think about it, right? Was it as good? A vacation, right? You think it's going to be great? So I just present it as a thought experiment just to see that, gosh, when you really get down to like that moment of, okay, this is me. I'm about to eat this. I'm eating the sundae right now. You know, I'm on vacation right now. And you think, like, am I totally happy? No, I'm not. It's not as good as it was supposed to be. I thought, you know, Jamaica was supposed to be beautiful weather now. It's so damn hot, these mosquitoes, right? Or whatever, right? Like the actual moment, you'll see, even when you're actually in the moment, you'll be thinking, well, tomorrow of my vacation will be nice. Or you think, actually, yesterday maybe wasn't so bad compared to today. So anyways, I'll just leave that with you to ponder as part of the understanding of not being such a nice place in the end. So a bad bargain. All right. So the reason it's bad, and Prabhupada got into this a little bit here, was because we are spiritual in nature. We actually, and by that, to be spiritual means we're connected with God. And the relationship with God is like a hand to the body, like a leaf to a tree. In the spiritual world, like you can see this beautiful painting here, just there, you can see Krishna and Radharani dancing in the center. And then there's sort of expansions of Krishna dancing around. So in the spiritual world, Krishna is in the center, and we're dancing around. And it's totally fine. We're totally happy. It's the Prius. We have no complaints. But the itch, the jaguar itch, is that we kind of think like, Christians in the center, I'm totally happy kind of being part of the circle. Gosh, but what would it be like if I was in the center? Maybe it'd be better. I have no complaints right now. I'm totally satisfied, but maybe it'd be better. Who knows? So we come to this world. The reason we're kind of kicked out of the spiritual world is because we want to be the center. We want to be the center. So it's sort of like the hand saying, what is this? I'm the one, like, dealing with the food. Like, I cook it, I eat it, I put it in the mouth. Like, I'm doing all the work. What's the stomach doing? Like, nothing. Just, like, the food just comes, you know? So, like, what if I don't give you food, stomach, huh? Huh, Mr. Big Man? What if I don't do anything? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, I'm just going to eat it myself. I'm just going to squeeze it up, you know, get some halva today at the feast and just have your hand enjoy it, get into the fingers and fingernails, right? And just, I'm just going to enjoy the halva myself. Forget you, stomach. I don't need you. What will happen? What will happen if for all the next 1 week, all your meals, your hand just kind of, I'm not going to put it in the mouth. I'm not going to put it in the stomach. I'm just going to mush it up. What will happen? Yeah, you'll starve, right? The hand will lose all strength. It'll wither and die. Wither and die. Same thing, the leaf, right? Oh, your roots. You get all the water. I want the water. You know, pour the water on me. I'm not going to share any with you, right? I don't need you, root. I'm a leaf. Look at me. I'm beautiful. You know, you're all down in the ground, right? So it doesn't work. It doesn't work because it is against our constitutional position. It is not a question of choice, and it's not a question of changeability. It's inalterable. It's just how we're connected to God. That's just the nature of our existence, is that he's the central enjoyer and we enjoy secondarily. The stomach gets the food, digests it, and the nutrition goes everywhere in the body, right? Even the little finger that doesn't even do anything, right? But it gets it. The leaves, right? The roots, they get the water, and the whole tree gets nourished. So the problem is when we come here to kind of do our little God project, like I'm going to be the center, which, I mean, that's what it is. And it's hard for us to think that that's not normal, because that's what, I mean, like, I wake up, right? I'm like, okay, here I am. Let me look at my face. Let me brush my teeth. Let me think about what I need to do. Let me think about what I want. You know, what do I want to get out of today? It's all me, me, me. Aham, mama. Aham, me, mama, mine. Me and mine, me and mine. If anything, if we're thinking about anybody else, it's like the immediate, right? Okay, my family, right? Let me think about what my kids, you know? Right? It's like, it's very limited. It's very limited. It's a circle. It's a circle. It might expand to some degree, but we're in the center. It's a circle determined by us at the center. And this is not natural. It feels natural because we've been doing it for so long, birth after birth. It's actually not natural. What's actually natural for us as a spirit soul is Krishna's in the center. We get up, we're like, what does Krishna want today? And the beauty of that is conflict comes because if you're the center of your circle, you're the center of your circle, I'm the center of my circle, right? I set a lot of different circles, right? What if something comes up like, it's good for me, not good for you. Good for you, not good for me. Conflict. Conflict. Maybe you compromise, maybe you do something, but in the end, it's not satisfying, right? You had to give up something. But if we all had the same center, what's good for Krishna, what's good for Krishna? Oh, we want the same thing. Now there's no compromise. It's a win-win. It's a win-win. So the art of how to do that is, I mean, we have books on this. It's at the same time simple, but very difficult. It's simple to understand, but it's, what is it, that a game Othello with like the black and white pieces, like a minute to learn, a lifetime to master? That's what it is. Principle is very easy, but to really practice it and manifest it takes a long time. But keep coming to the temple, read the books, talk with those who are following, and you can understand it better. So now I want to get to the best use part. So if there's a best use, what's the worst use? What's the worst use? I'm going to suggest that. Like, well, okay, let's say you got your Jaguar, right? Now, what are your options? What are your options? You're stuck with it. You're stuck with it. You're really frustrated. It's not what you wanted it to be. You thought you were getting a sports car, right? It won't go that fast. What are your options to do it? What are you going to do? You still now it's Monday. You got to go to work again. And this is the only car you have. So what are your options? So you can take the Jaguar to work. You're like, I still got to get to work. This is my car. So I guess I'll just use it, right? What else could you do? You could walk. You could just say, forget this car. So I'm gonna run with that. I don't know if this is what you intended, but I'm going to run with that and kind of say, you could just be disgusted, right? You could say, forget that deal. I mean, this is ridiculous. You're just so upset. You're like, I'm not even going to use the car, right? I'm just like, it was such a bad deal. I'm just going to walk to work. Like, I don't even care. You know, you just kick the Jaguar, right? You're so angry at it, right? You just kick it and ignore it, and you don't use it at all. So that's one thing you could do. I saw a hand. Another option. Yes. Call a taxi. You could call a taxi, right? So I'll clump that together with that you just avoid the Jaguar, even though it could work, right? Okay, it doesn't go so fast. It could still take you to work. But I'm going to clump that. Rather, you're walking or taxi. I'm just going to say, let's say you're doing that with disgust. But go back and buy the Prius. There you go. So we'll get to that as the punchline. The other thing you could do is you could take the Jaguar and try to get it to go fast every day and have it fail. You're like, man, it's supposed to go like 0 to 60 in like 3.4. I'm going to make it. I'm going to do it. And it doesn't do it. You try again. So I'm going to suggest that the two extremes, like you're stuck with it. One is to just be so disgusted that you just reject it. You take the taxi, you walk, you're just done with it. The other extreme I'm going to say is you use it in just kind of hope against hope that it will actually start doing what it was supposed to do, what you know it's not going to do. Did you have a point? Trade it for Lamborghini. Very good. Very good, right? Does that make sense? Those two extremes, right? Like one is to just neglect it and just you're just so disgusted by it, just not even use it. The other one is use it and really just, I'm going to make it go fast. I know I'm going to, right? And you'll be frustrated, right, every day. So these are the two extremes. And Prabhupada kind of lays these out. This is a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam, 1974. To make the best use of a bad bargain, suppose you've got a car. It's not a very good car. It's not American car, but ambassador. This is in India, these ambassador cars. Thrice breaks, but you have to utilize it. Bad bargain. Similarly, some way or other, we have got this material body. We cannot neglect it. We don't, they say that, neglect it. Don't care for the body. Our real business is how to get out of this entanglement, not to be more and more, I mean to say, implicated in this entanglement. That should be the point of view, to make the best use of a bad bargain. That should be the philosophy of life. We are put into this material existential condition and we have to get out. But at the same time, so far, so long this material body is there, we have to maintain it. Just like the example is very nice, we can cite that you have to go to some place and you've got a car. You have to take care of the car so far it can carry you to your destination. Not that you simply take care of your car and you forget your destination and your own body. This is not your business. The culture of spiritual knowledge necessitates the help of the body and mind. Therefore, maintenance of the body and mind is required if we are to reach our goal. So, I would say the worst use is one of these two extremes. Now, we talked about with the car doing it. And so the analogy with our body would be this. So one is, let's say the not using, right? The Jaguar. We're walking, we're taking a taxi, whatever. So with the body, I mean, we could say, gosh, oh, I'm spirit soul, and now I have this body. Like, this is a place of misery, right? We talked about that. I was kind of hammering that home, right? So one reaction could be to what? What would be the analogy of treating your life or this body like we talk about with the Jaguar, just kind of not even using it? What would be the analogy? Shout out something. You can't really be wrong. I'll make you right even if you're wrong. I'll pull it into my answer, so don't worry. Do nothing. What's worse even than do nothing, right? Torture your body. What's a fast all day? Right? If you can imagine, an example would be if you have friends, hopefully not yourself, or movies or whatever. I mean, if you've seen like heroin, right? Heroin addicts. I mean, talk about doing nothing. They're literally doing nothing all day. Just gone, right? So you could be, you could say the world is so miserable, right? You're saying there's so much misery. Fine. Like, I'm not even going to try. Like, why should I even do anything? I'm just going to, intoxicate out, right? Heroin, this and that, just escape. Just give up, right? So that would not be a good use of this bad. It's a bad bargain. Nobody's saying it's not bad. The misery is there. You have this body. You traded this eternal, spiritual, full of knowledge body for this. So that's one extreme. So what about the other one? Can someone help me with what's the other extreme? Like me driving the Jaguar, like it is going to go 0 to 60 in 3.4 seconds or else. So what's the analogy with our situation, our human life? Overproduction of Jaguars. All right, I'm going to think about that. So over something. I'll use the over part. What's that? Over endeavoring. So the part went right, because what's the deal with the Jaguar is you're not acknowledging the reality of it doesn't work. It's not, you're kind of denying it's a bad bargain, right? You're saying actually it's fine. It's fine. People are like, hey, how come it doesn't go fast? You're like, no, it will. It's just not doing it today. Right? So the analogy would be like, you're like, yeah, you say there's misery, but you know what? I'm going to be happy. I will be the first person. Because you all are miserable because you haven't figured it out, man. I'm going to figure it out. Like, your wedding wasn't perfect, but my wedding will be. My wedding, right? Is you can be in denial that it's a bad bargain and think that, no, I am going to get the pleasure. Like, I'm going to get the same pleasure I had with Krishna, that full of Ananda. I'm going to get it here. I just am. And you just kind of, right? Just dive in. I'm just going to, through eating and sex and relationships and watching TV or whatever, I'm just going to enjoy so much that I'm going to make this a not a dukkalayam, but a sukkalayam. Krishna's wrong. I'm going to cross it out. Sukkalayam ashashvatam, right? I'm going to rewrite the Bhagavad Gita. So those are the two extremes. And both of them, really, they both just end in frustration. Better to accept it's a bad bargain, but now what can I do with it? What can I do with it? So just like you take the Jaguar, you're like, I'm just going to still go to work. And frankly, I couldn't really go that fast to work anyways between the traffic and this and that, so it doesn't really matter. And actually, other than the fact that it doesn't go fast, it's actually a nice car. It's not too bad. It's doing the job. It's getting me from point A to point B, whatever. I wish I still had my Prius, but whatever. It'll do. So this is the point. This is known in our philosophy as the principle of yukta vairagya. Yukta vairagya. It means take what you have, whatever your situation, whatever it is you have, and use it as part of your spiritual journey. Use it in the service of Krishna. Use it as an instrument to elevate your consciousness. And here's some, there's Prabhupada. When there's a bad bargain, so intelligent man makes the best use. All right, how can it be used for best purpose? Don't be frustrated. Don't be in denial. Just think, okay, here I am. Now what should I do? What can I do with it? And this principle is coming from Rupa Goswami, an earlier saint who came around 500 years ago. And here Prabhupada is talking about Rupa Goswami. The other day I tried to explain this verse of Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami has stated in two ways, the attachment and detachment. He says, anasaktasya vishayan yatarham upayunjata, the things of our enjoyment, that should be accepted. Anasaktasya, without any attachment. I require this for maintenance of my body, therefore I accept this. This is called anasaktasya. So in other words, just to make the better use of a bad bargain. I'm now materially engaged, so I must make the best use of this body by dovetailing myself with Krishna. Krishna sambandhe. Elsewhere, utilize the temporary possessions for the cause of the permanent. And Prahlad Maharaj, this child saint, actually, we sang these prayers for Nrisimhadev. So he came for his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. So this is, he's like 5 years old when he's speaking this philosophy. He says, one who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life. In other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. So, the point is, we entered into a bad bargain. Accept it. Don't be in denial of it. But now make the best use. And the best use is to use it to get back to where you were. So, I mean, I guess our analogy, I didn't really flesh out this part, but I guess you'd be working to buy the newest Prius or something. I don't know. That you can fill in. But the whole point is you gave away something and you're here, but now you can use that very thing you got out of the bad bargain to restore yourself to your former condition. This is the point. This is the point. So don't be in denial that it's a bad bargain, because otherwise it's sort of illusion, right? The Jaguar is never going to go over 50 miles an hour. It just isn't. Right? There's something wrong with it. It's not going to do it. So accept it. Don't keep trying and be frustrated. And so you won't get unceasing pleasure from this body in this life. You won't. And it's what you want. You don't want pleasure sometimes or half the time or 75% of the time. You want it 100% of the time, because it is your birthright. It is your nature to be happy and blissful. But you're not going to get it through the body and through enjoying things on this level. You will get it through spiritual activity. So accept that it's a bad situation, but now use this human body. You can come. You've come here. You're chanting Hare Krishna. You're entering to the philosophy. You're going to eat these sanctified foodstuffs. So you can engage in this process. And that's what Rupa Goswami is saying. Do it without attachment. So without attachment means you're not thinking that through your material activities themselves you're going to get pleasure. You're going to do it because it's your duty. You know, whatever your situation is, the yukta vairagya is take what you have. If you're married, you have kids, stay in that situation. You don't need to give that up. If you have a job, stay in that situation. You don't need to leave your job. So take where you are as it is, except that directly it's not going to satisfy you. But if you put Krishna in the mix and try to do everything in some way, yukta, connected with Krishna, you will actually get some pleasure. So I hope that makes some sense. I thank you very much for your attention, and I'll open up to maybe a few questions, one or two, if anybody has some. It's all right? All right, very good. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. All right.